I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora and welcome to the World in Sport. I'm Vinnie Wiley. This week,
54,000 people viewed our opening ceremony alone on social media. We have brought together 11 islands, 24 national federations and over 3,000 athletes.
The revived Cook Islands Games proves a hit. Former Penrith Panthers second rower Tony Pulotua reminisces ahead of this weekend's NRL Grand Final, and Papua New Guinea's domestic rugby league season has a thrilling finish. But first, the revived Cook Islands Games will be back in 2022 after staging the biggest sporting event in the Pacific this year. The competition returned for the first time in 5 years as a way to bolster sporting competition in the country in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. President of the Cook Islands Sports and National Olympic Committee, Hugh Graham, says it proved the small island nation can compete at any level.
We have seen some great sporting performances. We have seen national records broken. We have seen new stars emerging. Thank you for proving that we are a very good sports nation with a part to play on any international stage.
The island of Mauke topped the standings from Aitutaki and Mangaia, and team manager Akati Purea admits their success was a bit of a surprise.
Didn't even expect it. It was quite a shock considering towards the last day of the comp that the tally medals were actually so close, so it was anyone's game. But we're very proud and overwhelmed that we came out on top of the games.
And what does it mean to the island to win this? Because obviously this was the Cook Islands Games, first time in 5 years it's happened, and with so much happening around the world, it was a rare opportunity, I guess, for a country like the Cook Islands that doesn't have COVID to celebrate within, to celebrate its own and develop young and new talents from on island. What did this whole experience mean to you guys?
It's quite a big deal. I mean, everyone is so proud of the achievement that we have achieved for this Cook Island Games. Yesterday, we took our winning trophy back home onto the island of Mauke, and now they are celebrating having the trophy there for a couple of days before we return it back to the mainland here on Rarau.
What is the population of Mauke?
Population of Mauke could be about maybe 300 or 400.
And how many athletes did you have competing in the games?
Most of the athletes we had for Team Mauke all stay here in Rarotonga. Because of the COVID and all, we thought it was best that we get the Maukeans that were staying here on the mainland to represent Mauke. So altogether, we registered about 300 plus athletes for Team Mauke to represent Mauke in the Cook Island Games.
And that was part of it, wasn't it? As you sort of touched on, because of the restrictions. But like, I guess if you're from Mauke and you're living on Rarotonga or one of the other islands, it must be nice for them to be able to, tap into their heritage, to where they come from, and be able to represent their island, even if they don't live there anymore.
Yes. Well, because one of the eligibility criteria that the Cook Island Sports had indicated was that you must have lineage or blood ties to the island. We were quite overwhelmed with the numbers that we received from everyone that came and, a show of hands of who wanted to represent Mauke during this Cook Island Games.
And was there any particular highlight for you in terms of, was there a sport that stood out or a competitor or just, an occasion?
Most of the medals that we collected were from the athletics code. So in the athletics, that's where most of our medals came from. So there were 24 codes all together, and it's unfortunate we couldn't compete in three of the codes. due to bereavement, we had one of our athletes that had to leave the country to for bereavement purposes. So apart from the three codes that we weren't represented in, we received medals from the other 21 codes that was inside the Cook Island Games.
And of course, the other medal tally, there was the one that was for the trophy, but there was the overall tally, including juniors and masters. And I guess that's, you know, that's indicative of, what was it, over 3,000 athletes. You know, that's, you know, almost 20-odd percent of the country's population, and people young and old, families competing alongside each other in this Games. It really was a whole sort of country effort, a whole sort of group effort, and, you know, everybody seems to have really sort of got involved and just had a great time.
That's right. It's so good to see some of the families, you know, the mum, the dad, the kids all coming together and representing one island, or otherwise there were others that were representing different islands, which they all came from. And it was good to see all of that. And it actually brought out the island pride we had within ourselves. And it really showed throughout the Games.
And I think the Cook Islands Games is going to end up being the biggest sporting event in the Pacific this year.
Yes, it is. You know, considering what's happening with COVID, I take my hat off to CISNOC, which is our Cook Island sports body here, for organising this successful game. And it actually brought everyone together, you know, within the Cook Islands. And just to show everyone that even though with this pandemic going on, we can still come together as one and have fun and enjoy each other's company.
And so what next? Obviously, the Cook Islands Games have already been confirmed to return in 2022. So after being dormant for a bit, I think everyone obviously really enjoyed themselves. And are people already thinking ahead and looking towards that? Or are they just kind of relaxing after what's been a, you know, a pretty busy couple of two, three, four sort of weeks?
Well, I think after that, the big announcement about the next game happening in 2022, everyone's already all hyped up about starting to get ready now for 2022. And that's really a good spirit for everyone. So everyone's still all hyped about the games and everyone's keen to go back into training and, you know, building up their teams and ready for 2022.
That's Akati Pudaya, the team manager for the Cook Islands Games champions, Melkir. Former Penrith Panthers second rower Tony Pulitua has high hopes his old team can snap a 17-year NRL premiership drought. As one half of the famous Hare Bears alongside Joe Nullarbor, Pulitua was influential as the Panthers silenced the Sydney Roosters in the 2003 grand final. This year's minor premiers take on the Melbourne Storm in Sunday's title decider, and the former New Zealand and Samoa international Pulitua told Tale Anderson he sees some similarities between the current team and the premiership-winning side in 2003.
Even positional-wise, there's so many players that they remind me of the type of players that we had in our side with everything that's been going on, you know, with the 2020 side this year. Yeah, obviously, they've done so much more than us in terms of, you know, how many games they've won during the season. They're on a huge winning streak of 17 games, and now they're in the grand final. So that's going to be the biggest challenge, and we'll have to see what happens on Sunday.
Why do you think it's taken so long for the Panthers to get into another grand final?
It's the game. It's just the way the game is. When we won it in 2003, we thought, you know, it'll just keep happening for us year in, year out. And I suppose in a way we took that moment for granted, just thinking that it was just going to happen for us. We come close again in 2004, where we were in the preliminary final against Bulldogs, and we ended up losing that game. And then, you know, obviously the Bulldogs won that year and they won the competition. But it's just the way it is with the competition and with teams and with the game. There's so many changes that happen, so many, you know, players that leave, staff that leave, and without even realising, you end up in a rebuilding stage. Whereas, like, what happened to our team? It was so solid a couple of years ago, where now we're in a rebuilding stage. We've got so many youngsters coming through. We've signed so many different players. And, you know, those are the challenges that you face.
That in some ways did happen with the Panthers as well. With you know, in 2002, the year prior, you guys came 12th in the season. So, you know, there was a flip where you were kind of the end side, and then you've come out and won the premiership. And what was that change? How did you go from, you know, a wooden spoon in 2001 to winning a premiership in 2003?
I felt that our confidence was still the same in 2002. And I think 2002 was probably our biggest learning experience and biggest growing experience for us as a team and us as individual players. Because we were right in there with so many games where we were so close and we were, you know, just like minutes away or seconds away from winning games, and we were just losing them right at the end of the games there. Like, we just weren't able to finish it off. You know, we sort of like took our foot off the pedal, if you know what I mean, and in certain games. I remember a game against Bulldogs in 2002 where we had the game won. It was like the last, I don't know, 15 seconds of the game, and then Willie Mason runs, takes a run down the left side, their left side, and ends up, you know, going through the line and popping into, I think it was Braith and Nesta at the time, and he run through and scored right on the hooter. And I just remember we were just like, how did we lose that? And I felt 2002 was such a painful year for us because of, you know, the amount of close games we were losing. But I felt that we always had the same mindset. We always had the same mentality going into 2002 and going into 2003. Where 2003, the difference was we started winning all those games that we were so close with, you know, in 2002. So I felt that that was the difference. You know, it was just a matter of us, you know, trying to lock in and trying to stay right in the game right until the end of the game. And we were getting the results in 2003. And then, you know, it was crazy how once you start to string a few wins together, the confidence just grows. And then you can do some amazing things like go on and winning the competition like we did in 2003. So
that must have been pretty incredible too, you know, just to make that comeback within that kind of two-year span. Was there anything that kind of stood out for you in that game or that night?
I just remember there was a quiet, like our team was so confident. Yeah, it was like a quiet sort of confidence, you know, amongst our group. The main thing that I remember was what was going on within our group. You know, we had something special going on within our group, and we didn't allow any sort of like outside noise or outside, you know, influences with the critics and the doubters. And we didn't allow for that to get inside our, you know, our circle or in our team, you know, which was very important for us, you know, for that season. And we were able to just stay together and just continue to play for each other. And we were playing some really, really good footy at that time. And I felt that, you know, that confidence carried on into the grand final, and we there was a really calm sort of feeling amongst ourselves, you know, in the grand final. And I remember it clearly. And then the game happened. We were quietly confident, like as I said, and you know, that we could win the game. It was just a matter of us going out there and doing the job. My advice to, you know, teams now that go through the grand finals, especially, you know, Penrith, just soak up everything you can and enjoy the moment. Like, enjoy the week, enjoy the game. They're hard to come by. You know, they don't come by too often. You may never get this opportunity to do it again.
That's former Penrith Panthers second rower Tony Pulitua. The planning for next year has already begun after a triumphant finish to Papua New Guinea's 2020 Digicel Cup domestic rugby league competition. The Hello Wigmen won the title for the second time after beating defending champs the Lay Snacks Tigers in Sunday's grand final in Port Moresby. The decider was played in front of a sold-out crowd of 13,000 at Sir John Guy's Stadium. And PNG National Rugby League competition manager Stanley Hondina admits after a campaign disrupted by COVID-19, it was a relief to make it to the finish line.
Yeah, to be quite honest, you know, we knew that amidst the pandemic, if we are determined and if we set the processes in place, we could really get there. But, you know, our confidence level was not as high as it is today after going through it. But we felt that we could go through it when we started, and we're so happy that at least we reached the end to a result that was well above and beyond our expectation that we had at the first place.
Indeed, and a dramatic final with the Hella Wigmen winning their first title in 6 years, as I understand it.
The last one they won was in 2014, and after 6 years they won again, beating the favourites, Leicester Tigers, by a four-pointer. It was down to the wire, a close game, got everybody on their toes, really entertaining. Building up to this one, Hella Wigmen beat the Robal Gurriers last week with a field goal. So that in itself put the game to some level where it really drove the interest, and after yesterday's four-pointer win, it was a good final that we concluded.
And I guess the most fitting and perhaps one of the more exciting aspects of the game, not just on the field, you were able to welcome a full stadium of supporters.
Yeah, we started off with 30% towards the middle. We started going up 5% a week to 35%, 40%. On the semi-finals, we went to 55 and 80 in the last semi to 100% this week. So it was a progressive 5-10% increase on a week basis. But yes, it was the time that we opened up to the full capacity, and it was sold out on a Friday before the Sunday's game in Papua New Guinea.
And what was the atmosphere like at Sir John Guy Stadium? I've been there for the Pacific Games, and obviously it holds the rugby league finals normally, but after what's been such a disjointed year and so much uncertainty, to have a full crowd in there, the title on the line, it must have been a great afternoon.
You can hear the cheering and the sounds and the noises. People that are not in the vicinity of the stadium, we could tell that something's happening there, where the people started screaming from the blow of the whistle all the way to the full time. The excitement was there, a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure people really enjoyed the game, walking on very safely, and we had no issues at all.
You know, I guess we go all the way back to the start of July when the Digicel Cup was finally able to get underway. You know, here we are in October. Has it been a long 4 months for you, or has it flown by now that you've had rugby league back in the country?
It has definitely been a four hard months for me and my other team that we run the competition with, all these uncertainties applied by the new normals and the new protocols that they put in place, and making sure the game happens on one end but not compromising the health standards and processes. It was a challenge, but also in the midst of the challenge, it was interesting for us, as it gave us that heads to stand tall and measure ourselves as to what we can really do as a sport and as an organisation, rugby league in Papua New Guinea, yeah.
And what was the biggest learning curve for the year? Because as you say, you had to discover the new normal. Health and safety was paramount for PNG citizens, and countries around the world were experiencing that. Was there anything that stood out for you?
If there's something that we could take on from this, COVID, it helped us to remain innovative and vigilant, think out of the box, think creative. It also helped us to work together as a team. And I commend all the 12 teams that partook in the competition. They were really compliant with the process. They helped us. We helped them. And it helped us to raise the standards to the new normal. So this is basically what we'll be doing going forward, 2021 season and onwards. I think that something that we take out from this is help us to work together as a team and to go through the storm, building confidence in ourselves, self-belief, and helping us to get through this. So that's something that we really appreciate, that has given us the opportunity to do so by the pandemic.
And so in terms of 2021, when does the planning start for that? Because obviously this year there was great to have the Digicel Cup, but there was no women's competition locally. There were no age grade competitions. So obviously with a bit more time to plan, you'd hope next year to have all of those leagues back again, I would imagine.
Correct. And there's still a lot of uncertainty around the pandemic, and our decisions and our, what we do will all be subject to those calls made by the health authorities and the pandemic controllers. So we still remain vigilant and open-minded. But back to your question, when does the planning start? It starts today after yesterday's grand final. Because we have a season that starts in March or April next year, planning has already commenced, and we are working towards how we can bring in the other competition levels in under grades as well as the women comp and others, like you said.
That's PNG NRL competition manager Stanley Hondina. And that's the World in Sport for this week. For more, head to our website, rnzi.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.